Good morning, everybody. Wait a minute, something's wrong. Good morning, everybody. These newfangled things, this new camera, it didn't work last time. It better work this time or I'm going to be very aggravated. Nobody wants me to be aggravated.
I don't see any numbers going here. The other one you had numbers. You're showing.
Did you press record?
What? Record.
It's recording? Okay.
That's what it says, but I don't believe it.
Good morning, everybody. First of all, I want to apologize, truly apologize to anybody who came last week and was unaware of the fact that classes had been canceled because of the election. I, and I believe Rabbi Adler too, we both planned on coming here to teach Torah on election day. We need the schus of Torah on election day. And then there was a higher authority, not so much higher, but a higher authority who decided that there will not be classes. The center is going to be closed on election day, which it was. Okay? Now, since I was talking about election day, I'm not going to say a word about election day. We came here to learn Torah. But there's a lot over here in the parasha. I just hope it works this time. I'm going to be very aggravated otherwise. But all right, okay. You know, you have to learn all these things. Okay, all right. Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan Chotein Moshe et Kol Asher Osa Elokim LeMoshe Uli Yisrael Amo Ki Hotzi Hashem et Yisrael Mimetzchayim. Yitro heard. Yitro, and we are told who he was. He was the Kohen of Midian. I don't know why they call him Minister of Midian. Kohen really means he was the priest. Yes, the priest of Midian, the father-in-law of Moshe. He heard all that God had done for Moshe and for the Jewish people, his people, that God had taken them out of Egypt. So he responds, he reacts, he moves. And therefore what he did is, Yitro, the father-in-law of Moshe, took Tzipora, Moshe's wife, after she had been sent back to Midian, and he took her two sons, one whose name was Gershom, because Moshe had said, Ger hayiti ber etz nachriyar, I was a stranger in a foreign land, v'shem ho'echod Eliezer, and the other one's name was Eliezer, ki elokei avi be'ezvi, God of my father saved me, he rescued me, mecher of Paro, from the sword of Paro. Vayavo Yitro Chotei Moshe. There's a reason why the word Vayavo is underlined. Vayavo, and you'll see later, Vayavo Yitro Chotei Moshe. Yitro, the father-in-law of Moshe, came, Ubonovi Yishto Moshe, his sons and his wife, to Moshe, Elamidbar, to the desert, Asher Hu Choneshom, where he is encamped there, Har HaElokim, the mountain of God. And he said to Moshe, I'm your father-in-law, and Yitro coming to you. Rashi says that he sent a messenger ahead to tell him the Shver is coming and I'm coming with your wife and your two sons. Vayetze Moshe l'krat chosno. Moshe went out toward his father-in-law, Vayishtachu, they bowed down and he kissed him. And they each asked each other how they are. Vayishalu ish l'reil l'sholom v'smachzla, how are you? Shver tayere, chosin meine. Everybody was, they were very happy to see each other. Vayavohu, all alone they came to the tent. And then it says that Moshe tells his father-in-law all that had transpired with the Jewish people. It was quite a story. It was probably one of the greatest stories in the world. A people, for the first time, in all history, marching out to freedom, the hand of God, the might of God, clearly has intervened in history in a most miraculous fashion. And they're marching out to freedom. What an exciting, exhilarating experience. Imagine that. Nobody was ever able to flee from Egypt. I mean, it was a totalitarian, dictatorial state. Nothing changes, nothing changes. I mean, they didn't have 30, 40 people killed because of a soccer riot in those days, but they killed them nevertheless, also for all the reasons. I mean, to be living at that time, I think we get the feeling every so often, the truth is not every so often, we should always be feeling the fact that we're living in very, very historic times. Yitro hears what has happened, and he comes out to the desert. The Ramban begins this sedra by bringing a machlokas in the Gemara, it appears in Masechta Zvachim toward the end. There's a machlokas whether Yitro came before Torah was given. Yitro kodam matan Torah came before Torah was given. Or Yitro came after matan Torah, after Torah was given. Of course, according to the one who holds it, Yitro came after matan Torah, then it's extremely difficult. So why did the Torah put the story of Yitro here before matan Torah? The second half of Parshat Yitro is going to be the greatest event in all of world history. God himself descending upon the mountain, revealing himself to the Jewish people. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm God, your God. He gives them the Ten Commandments. Awesome! We don't even have the words with which to describe. Even Moshe in Sefer Dvarim, did any people ever have an experience of this sort in all of history? Hashomam, did any people hear God speaking to them from the mountain? So now, this is the great event. Now, if Yitro, for whatever reason it is, he holds that Yitro came after Matan Torah, so why? Then the Torah is taking it completely out of chronological order and plunking down over here at the beginning of Parashat Yitro the story of Yitro coming. Why should they do that? Why should they take a whole parasha and put it out of chronological order? According to the one, of course, who says that Yitro came before Matan Torah, that means everything in this parasha is following in absolute historical chronological order. Yitro arrives before Matan Torah. Yitro is going to be present for the giving of Torah at Sinai. But according to the one who says he came afterwards, why is he put here? Then again, you can even ask, well, why altogether does the story of Yitro have to be included in the same parasha in which we have Matan Torah? Do you understand? The parasha of Matan Torah goes by the name Yitro. I mean, you know, somehow or other, I don't have this feeling, wouldn't it be great if the parasha would have started Vayomer Moshe and the parasha would be called Moshe? Wouldn't that be an appropriate name for a parasha like this? I just thought of that now. I think it's such a great idea. Why didn't God think of that? But no, the parasha is Parashat Yitro. It's something extremely, extremely significant that is taking place over here. What's happening over here is the following. Exactly what Yitro heard, the whole world heard. Everybody knew about the exodus from Egypt. Everybody knew about Kriyat Yam Suf, that the God split the Red Sea and Jews went across on dry land. But you know what happens? There are three different reactions. People in the world react differently. Let's see the different reactions. Let's go to number three. We'll get back. No, I'll tell you number two right now. Number two is the famous first Rashi on Parashat Yitro. It's a really... all Rashis are famous, but this is more famous. Vayishma Yitro, Yitro heard. Rashi asks, and this comes from the Gemara, Mashmua Shama Ubo, what was it that he heard that compelled him to come? And Rashi says, Kriyat Yamsuf Umilchemet Amalek. He heard about the splitting of the Red Sea, and he heard about the war of Amalek. Remember. The one who holds the opinion that it was Kriyat Yamsuf, it was Milchemet Amalek, the war against Amalek that was waged, is because, remember, we forget from one week to the next, but the very end of Parashat B'Shalach is the Parashat Vayavu Amalek. We're going to read it right away. Amalek comes. Immediately after the war with Amalek, and God swears that his throne shall not be complete, nor his name, until Amalek is ultimately destroyed, is immediately followed by Vayishma Yitro, and Yitro heard. Amalek, right next to Yitro. So that's why one of the opinions in the Gemara is, what was it that Yitro heard? He heard about Milchemet Amalek. He heard about the war of Amalek. But Rashi says two things. Rashi says, Mashmua Shama Ubo, what was it that Yitro heard, and therefore he came? Rashi says two things, Kriyat Yamsuf and Milchemet Amalek, the splitting of the Red Sea and the war with Amalek. So now, these are two opinions in the Gemara. There's a third opinion that says that he heard about Matan Torah. He heard that Torah was given at Sinai. That's the opinion that says that this parsha is out of place, and we are asking, why indeed is it here? So now, let's see the reactions. How does the world react? A new nation is in the process of coming into being. A nation is born. How does the world react to it? So there we have it. Number three, Parashat B'Shalach. This is the Shira. We say it every day. Shamu Amim Yirgazun. The nations heard. The nations heard. Remember the word Shamu. They heard. And Yitro heard. Vayishma Yitro. Yitro heard. You know what we're going to find? Many people can hear precisely the same thing, and they're going to react differently. They're going to interpret differently, as though they all saw something else or heard something else. The nations of the world heard Yirgazun. So says they were agitated. I don't know. Yirgazun means upset, angry. Chil ochaz yoshve ploshet. Those who live in Plishtim. Those who live in Plishtim were gripped with terror. Correct. Oznev halu alufei Edom. The alufei Edom, the chieftains of Edom, were confounded, confused. You hear what's going on in the world? The world hears. Well, oh, are these powerful reactions. Elei Moav, the mighty ones, the officers of Moab, Yochazemo Ra'ad, were gripped with trembling. They're trembling. Nomogu Koyoshe Canaan. All of those who lived in Canaan, their hearts melted away. Theirs most probably was the most extreme, the extreme reaction. Nomogu Koyoshe Canaan, because they know. They know that this new people that's born is going to come to Canaan. In other words, they have not yet created revisionist history. They knew that Jews lived in Canaan a few hundred years earlier. They knew that they're going to come back. And they thought, well, maybe they will be lost completely in Egypt. Well, no. Here is a new people born. Plishtim are the first ones to get shook up, because Plishtim are the closest to the Jewish people. A world is gripped with terror, with fear, with trembling. Tipol aleihem eimatav afachad. So Moshe and Klal Yisrael say, yeah, let them tremble, let them fear, may fear and terror before them. Tipol aleihem eimatav afachad b'gdolz ruachon yidmu koven. Because of the greatness of your arm, may they be still as stone. Ad yavar amcha Hashem, ad yavar amzu kanito. Let them all be terrified and let them all be frightened until your people Israel cross through the desert on their way to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says it says twice ad yavar, until they cross. So the Gemara says that it refers to the first entry of Jews into Eretz Yisrael, which was in the days of Yoshua, and it also talks about the second entry into Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah when they returned from Babel. If you want to know how the nations of the world react when Jews come back for the third time, so first of all, we know. We know. We're living it. We know it. This is every day for us. Every day for us. And then again, In the Nevi'im, there's a great deal that's said about how the nations of the world, you know what? They were confounded. They were agitated. They were upset an hour after the UN vote in 1947. And they wanted to change their votes. How do you like that? Change their votes. No. Can't change your vote. Tough luck. You voted a Jewish state into existence. But we see what the reactions are. The world simply has not yet gotten used to the idea that there is a Medinat Yisrael here. But wait, there's a lot more to come. So that means like this. The nations of the world here, they fear, they tremble, they're terrified. But you know what? Not a single solitary soul is moved to do something. In the whole world, there's going to be one person who's going to hear, and not only he's going to hear, he's going to arrive at the right conclusion. He's going to join the Jewish people. One single solitary person in the whole world. There are other people who hear. You know who else hears? Number four. Vayavo Amalek. Amalek, everybody's trembling, agitated, upset, frightened, terrified. And maybe they've even melted away to the point that they can't do anything. They're paralyzed. Not Amalek. Vayavo Amalek, and he wages war with Israel. Do you understand? It's unbelievable. The whole world is terrified. I told you before, to remember the word at the beginning of Parshat Vayitro that I underlined, Vayavo Yitro. There's Vayavo Amalek and there's Vayavo Yitro. Amalek comes and Yitro comes. Amalek comes to destroy, to uproot a Jewish people. A rebellion against God himself. They can't fight with God, so they fight with the Jewish people. By the way, that's always been true. Not that they love us so much, but they want to, in a sense, wage war with everything that the Jewish people represents. So there is a Vayavai Amalek, and there is a Vayavo Yitro, two completely different Vayavos. Vayavo Amalek, Vayilachem Yimshad B'Refidim. Amalek comes and he wages war with Israel and Refidim. Moshe tells Yahushua, this is important to know. Remember, I don't want to upset you or agitate you, but it's 3 weeks to Purim. And if it's 3 weeks to Purim, you know what that means. Pesach is around the corner. Okay? Vayavo, and Amalek wages war with the Jewish people. Vayomer Moshe Yoshua. Moshe says to Yoshua, Bechar lanu anoshim, choose men, v'tzehi lachim b'Amalek, and go wage war with Amalek. Machar, tomorrow anochi nitzav, I'm going to be at the top of the mountain, and you're going to be down on the plain. And we have the whole story. Vayas Yoshua, kasher amalo Moshe. Yoshua did what Moshe told him, lehi lachem b'Amalek, to wage war with Amalek. Moshe, Aaron, v'chur, olu, rosh, give Moshe and Aaron, chur, who was the son of Miriam, they went to the top of the mountain. And then we know the whole story of what takes place. It's a war that does not end in a decisive manner. It only ends with Vayachalosh Yehoshua at Amalek. Yehoshua weakened Amalek. But Amalek is going to come back again. He's going to come back again. And he's going to take all sorts of different guises. He will come back in every generation. And we have him right here. We have him right here now, over there. I don't know. You know, I think there's a big cover-up going on. I have this feeling in my kishkis that in that place, what is it called? Frodo, or something or other?
Fordo.
I can't, you know, till you learn all these new names that come up. The only name that's been coming up all the time, and I thought it's a place that never really existed. French forces are on the way to Timbuktu. Yeah. You remember Timbuktu? When we were little kids? Like, if you want to talk about Jena Ekveld, from Williamsburg to Timbuktu. And here it is, Timbuktu is alive and exists. You know what I did? I wasn't even sure where Mali is or where Timbuktu is. And I went on, I Googled it, and I know exactly where it is. Yes?
I'm sure you want to tell us that because it says Vayavo. Couldn't that mean he comes twice and like
Who comes twice?
Jethro, that he came.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to pass on that now, because there are different Mepharshim that say all sorts of different things, but I have to stay on the clear and narrow path. Before you know it, I'll start talking about Timbuktu, and I'm going to start talking about how France, you understand, is endangered because of what's happening in Timbuktu, but we're not in danger about what's happening in Syria or in Gaza or in Ramallah, but France is shaking because of Timbuktu. Yes. That's my friend, my good friend David Wolf, and his wife Fran from Toronto are visiting. And there's my good friend, what's her name, Shoshana? Elisheva. Not Shin. I don't have to remember Elisheva from Vienna. She comes popping in every so often. Yes?
So now that you mentioned the Purim, there's also Vayavo Hamash.
There's also what?
Vayavo Hamash.
Did you hear that? Vayavo Haman. Vayavo Haman. Very good. Very good. I don't regret having permitted you to. Yes, it's all. Okay, go ahead.
Where is Timbuktu?
West Africa. It's inland. Anyway, the nations of the world heard. Remember, Shamu Amin, the word over there was the nations heard. And here it says, Vayishma Yitro. Okay? They heard and he heard. Vayavo Amalek and Vayavo Yitro. But take a look at the difference between. You know what we have over here? We have three responses. Three completely different responses. The world trembles, but does nothing. Amalek comes. He acts. but completely illogical. It's completely illogical. And that, incidentally, is exactly what defines Amalek throughout history. Amalek represents illogical and irrational hatred, and as Robert Wistrich refers to the lethal obsession, the name of his big fat book, the lethal obsession, as what is this lethal obsession? The longest hatred, anti-Semitism. And it's all irrational. It's all illogical. There is absolutely no logic whatsoever. I mean, it's unbelievable. You got to read that book. You can take a year of sabbatical off and you'll be able to get through the thousand pages, but it's gripping. It's a fascinating story, especially since we're living the fascinating story right now. I mean, all the reports coming out that anti-Semitism is rising and rising in Europe. What? They got rid of 6 million and the rest ran away. What kind of Jewish communities do you have with it? What kind of threat are we to anybody? China was anti-Semitic without having Jews. That's a chachma. That's a chachma. So here it is. You have the three reactions, the three responses, completely different. A world that trembles, an Amalek who comes full of hatred to destroy, and the only one who arrives at the correct conclusion. Vayavu Yitro, he came, and of course, say he came lihid gayer. He decided that he is going to join the Jewish people. And incidentally, that may be the reason why he is referred to as Kohen Midyan. Kohen Midyan. Kohen Midyan would not seem to be, you know, I wouldn't want, if my shver was a priest to Avodah Zarah, I really wouldn't want to use that. The only thing is, you know what Yitro is? He represents pure, honest, and passionate thirst for truth. According to the Medrash, he experienced every Avodah Zarah in the world. Every idolatry rejected them. So therefore, when he chooses now to come out to the desert and join the Jewish people, we're talking about somebody who has made a conscious, powerful decision. Not only that, what's the schus? In that schus, there's a parsha that's called Yitro. In his schus, the parsha of Matan Torah, Torah given at Sinai, is Parashat Yitro. In that schus, Yitro, that name, he has seven names, Rashi tells us, Reuel, Chovev, etc. Why do they use the name Yitro? Because the name Yitro comes from the fact that Yatar, he added one parsha in Torah. He added a parsha to Torah. He comes and he gives advice to Moshe, and he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, he starts off by saying, asking him, like, what are you doing here? Everybody's lined up waiting to speak to Moshe. So Moshe tells him, you know, people are coming to ask me shailas and questions, and they come to ask me to adjudicate on differences of opinion and machlokes, etc. So Yitro tells him, lo tov hadover asher ata oseh. It's not good what you're doing. No, lo tov. And because he says, you and the people are all going to be exhausted from this process. It can't work. You need a judicial system. And if he tells him, you should go out and seek and find people who will share the burden with you. People who are honest. People who can't be bought off. And create a judicial system. And it says, Vayishma Moshe, Lekol Chokno, he listened to his shver and he set up a judicial system. Right, there's a lot to talk about that. But I always remember when I come here, and this is going to be important too. I just recall it. One of the first things I remember from my father, Olashaw, first word that I heard from him, he says, and I think it's one of those vetted that the world says, you know, but I heard it from my father. He says, Rashi brings it, that Yitro added another parsha in Torah, the parasha of Va'ato Techezer, beginning with the words, you should seek out people who will help you carry the burden of judging. My father asked, well, wait a minute. Yitro does not begin with the words Va'ato Techezer, you should find judges to assist you. It begins earlier. A few psukim earlier, he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo tov hadavar asher ato. Not good what you're doing. You're going to fall apart and they're going to fall apart. So why isn't it called that Yitro added the parsha of Lo tov? So my father said, you know, there are a lot of people who can say Lo tov. A lot of people who can find fault. There are a lot of people, this is not good and that's not good. You know what a real contribution is? When you come up with Va'ato Techezer, when you come up with an idea, something that's creative, something that's positive. To be a naysayer, we have enough naysayers all over. Everybody is a greise complainer. That's not good. Yitro rises to being a Yitro the moment that he begins to say Va'ato Techezer. I'm going to tell you what to do. Go set up this system. That's going to be important for another reason. What did Rashi say? Rashi said at the beginning, the first Rashi said that Yitro heard Kriyat Yamsuf and Milchemet Amalek. He heard about the splitting of the Red Sea and he heard about the war waged against Amalek. Wait a minute. Why didn't he come after he heard about the splitting of the Red Sea? What's he waiting for? Why does he wait till after he hears the second report, the report of Milchemet Amalek? You know why? At Kriyat Yamsuf, the Jewish people were passive. The Rebbein Shem Moshe tells them, Hashem Yilachem Lachem, God is going to wage war for you, Vatem Tacharishun, and you remain silent. Passive. Except, of course, one fellow, whose name is Nachshon Ben Aminadab. And you know what Yitro thinks to himself? A people that depends on miracles alone will not truly be a people. Do you know what impresses him? When he hears that Amalek attacks, and Moshe Rabbeinu says to Yoshua, Yoshua bechar lono anoshim, choose men, say he lochim b'amalek and wage war. When he sees that this is a people who are ready to fight, they got a future. Therefore he comes, when he hears of Milchemet Amalek, then he knows this is a people that's going to make its way through history. Because when necessary, they're going to stand up and they're going to fight for themselves. In other words, they're going to be Va'atos Sechezeniks. They're going to take action. Let's go further. You got a lot to do yet. Number five, I just put in number five because it's such beautiful psukim. One of my favorite prakim in Tanakh, one of the few hundred favorite prakim in Tanakh. It's the second chapter in Yoshua. Jewish people are at the banks of the Yarden, the east bank. They're getting ready for the invasion, and Yoshua sends spies to spy out the land. And they come to Yericho. Second chapter in Yoshua says they come to Yericho, and they come to the house of a woman called Rachav. And word is already out in town. I always talk about those two spies as the most kalyika spies in history. It says that they came into Yericho, Vayugad Lemelech Yericho, and king of Yericho immediately gets information. There are Jewish spies in the city, understand? These guys needed to be trained, you know, by the Shabak, by the Mossad. These guys... They were immediately... So she hides them. She hides them on the roof. And they're going to come to her house and she's going to say an untruth with straight face. She doesn't know where they are, but she thinks that they already left. And you better start hurrying after them. They're on their way to the Yarden. If you keep going quickly, and they'll keep going quickly until eternity, they're not going to catch them because they're up on the roof. And she's covered up. And she comes up to the roof to them. They had not yet gone to sleep. She went up to them on the roof. And she said to the people, Yadati, listen to what a woman who Chazal say was a woman of ill repute. But wait a minute, if you want to understand how it is that this woman of ill repute is going to Yoshua is going to marry this woman, and from her and Yoshua are going to come Nevi'im and Gedolei Yisrael. Yirmiyahu came from Rachav and Yoshua. Because this simple woman, it would seem, was not so simple at all. In a sense, she is Yitro-like. Because she says, Yadati, I know ki natan Hashem lechem et ha'aretz. I know that God gave the land to you. V'chi nafla imatcham aleinu. The fear and the terror of you was fallen upon us. V'chi nomogu kol yoshvei ha'aretz mipenechem. She seems to be quoting the words of the Shira that she didn't know. We have melted away from before you. Kishamanu. We heard that Asher Hovish Hashem et Mei Yamsuf Mipnechem. We heard that God had dried the waters of the Yamsuf before you, Mitzaytchem in Mitzrayim, when you're out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amori on the other side of the Yarden, to Sichon and to Og. Vanishma, we heard. Vayimas Levavenu. She also heard. How do you like that? And you know what? She heard it 40 years ago. And by her, it's as alive and fresh as though she heard it now. That means, you know what we now have? We have now two people in the world who heard and arrived at the right conclusion. Yitro and Rachav. The rest of the world didn't get it then, and they don't get it now. Okay? Except, of course, there are Chassidei Umos Olam. Vanishma vayimas levavenu again. We melted away. Oh, listen to what she goes on to say, that Hashem Elokeichem, in other words, she knows that it's the work of God. Not simply that people broke out of Egypt and no, she knows ki Hashem Elokeichem hu elokim b'shamayim v'ma'al v'aretz mitochas. This new people, this new nation came into being because of the hand of God. So if Yitro, we have Rachav. You know what's strange? What's strange is, how is it that so many people can make a mistake and not read it right? How does the whole world just not get it? Shamu am yegozen, chil ochaz yoshish plushes, oznav halo alufei edom. It's there, but why don't they hear? They don't hear and they don't see. So Rab Simcha Zisel Brady was one of the Rosh Yeshiva of Kavin Yeshiva, has an entire essay in which he talks about the fact that God has built into the mechanism of the world the ability to make mistakes. The ability to be wrong. So everybody's inalienable right to be wrong. And why does he do it? He has to do it because otherwise anybody who's got a clear head is just going to take a look around at the world and he's going to be overwhelmed with nature. Look what God created. But man was put in this world in order that he should have free will. How does he have free will if he can be overwhelmed with the sights, the sounds, and the smells of nature? You can be overwhelmed with the sight of a newborn baby, even bigger babies. And you just look at a human being, you can be overwhelmed. So there has to be some opposite power in the world that gives man, you know, I have to choose. I have to make decisions. Doesn't simply come like that. So here, For example, I have number 6, the Ramban. Beginning of B'Shalach, the Rosh Hashem says that I'm going to strengthen the heart of Paro and he's going to pursue you. Remember, Paro was full of fear from the Jewish people after the Makkah of the firstborn. He even asked of them before they left Mitzrayim, bless me too. He didn't have the heart to go pursue them, even if they're going to flee. Even if the whole story that they've been telling him that we're going to go for 3 days in the desert, you remember that? Nobody's thinking about that anymore. No 3 days anymore. This is forever. He didn't have the courage or the determination or the strength or the will to pursue them. Let Moshe do whatever he wants of them. Goodbye. Good riddance. Therefore, the Pasuk has to say that God strengthened. God is going to give him the courage and the strength to indeed pick himself up and pursue the Jewish people. Later it says, I strengthen the heart of Egypt. They're going to come after you into the sea. The problem becomes even greater when the Egyptians arrive at the Yam Suf and they see that the Yam Suf is dry. And Jews are marching through the Yam Suf. They should have fled Tzal Derichas. What are they doing following them in? What are they following? Eich yimal'om libom lavo acharem. How can their hearts fill them to go after them? Lord Alehem. When you take a look at something of this sort, you have to stand and tremble in terror. Take a look at what's happening before our very eyes. So how do they get the courage to go after them? The Rambam says all of the miracles and wonders that God made, there is no wonder greater than this. How do they continue riding hard into the Yam Suf when they stand before a vision that none of us have ever seen? It's crazy. You know what God did? They were capable of making a mistake even under such conditions. They can see God before their very eyes. And you know what? Pele Gadol, the human being is capable of just putting the truth out of his heart and out of his mind and acting in a way that staggers the imagination. Then the Ramban, number 7, the Ramban says, Vayet Moshe et yodav al hayam, vayolach Hashem et hayam beruach kodem. The Ramban wants to explain, Moshe stretches out his hand and an east wind begins to blow, and it blows all night. The east wind, an east wind. What's this east wind? I mean, you know, lift up your staff, the Nile turns to blood. Lift up your staff. Tzvardim. What are tzvardim in English? Frogs. 31 years. That's what 31 years did to me. Frogs. Frogs come out. Instant. And over here, no, there's something else happening. A south wind, an east wind, begins to blow. You know what God wanted? His intent and his purpose was to split and the sea by making use of an east wind, miyabeshet, the kind of warm wind I don't, maybe it can dry up somebody after a shower. It's not going to dry up a whole yamsuf, you understand? But you know, ki ilu haruach hi hamecharevet yam. He wanted to leave the impression that anybody who wants to fool himself will say, yeah, oh, you see what's happening over there? Did you feel that wind all night? Powerful east wind. That's why it's all happening. God, what are you talking about? Kini shakosva pasuk noshe yavo kodim ruach Hashem v'yevosh mikarovi yecharav me'ayano. The east wind comes as a wind from God, and it dries everything up. His gilim mitzrayim v'yabdeim. God caused Mitzrayim to make a mistake, and then he destroyed them. Ki bavur zeh choshvu ulai. You know what they were thinking? Because of this wind, the east wind that's howling all night, you know what they thought? Ulai haruach som hayom lecharova. Maybe it was the east wind that caused the sea to dry up. V'lo yad Hashem osu zazos. It's not God who did it. Bavur Yisrael, what, you think God did that for the Jewish people? The wind, there was the wind. Even though, of course, the east wind is not going to break the sea into 12 different lanes, you understand. A 12-lane highway crossing the Yam Suf, one for each shefet. But you know, people can make a mistake. They didn't pay attention to that either. Because of the Taiva to get them, they came after them. Vizetam, that's what it means. Doesn't mean that God changed their heart. All that God did was gave them the opportunity to make their own mistake. Shechizek libam lema erda for yivayva asigain. Bayam, I'm going to pursue them and I'm going to catch them in the sea. Vein miyadi matzil. V'lo zochru ata. At this crucial moment, they didn't remember. Ki Hashem nilcham lehem b'mitzchayim, that it was God who was waging war in Egypt. Now they forgot it all. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Another quick Rashi, number 8. Number 8 is the famous Rashi. It's a Gemara in Brachas, where the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, Kachatzot, at approximately midnight, God is going to come down and kill all the firstborn. So the Gemara says, why did he say Kachatzot? God had told him Bachatzot. God said, I'm going to come down at midnight. The Gemara's watch works. Bachatzot. So why did Moshe change and say Kachatzot? So the Gemara says, you know, because he was concerned that if it won't happen precisely at the same moment that they think is Chatzot, you know what they're going to say? Moshe Badoihu. Moshe is a liar. Can you imagine? They've been through Eser Matos. And they may be off by a few seconds, and their mind is going to tell them Moshe is a liar. They'll just have to wait another few seconds and they'll see exactly what's going to happen. But those are the vagaries of the human mind. The human mind is capable of that's what David HaMelech is saying in Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. Watch this. Mizmashil Tov Lahodos Lashem. Song for the Sabbath. It's good to thank the Lord. Tov Lahodos Lashem. Ulazam Elishim Choyan. And to sing psalms to your name, Most High. Lahagib Abokech Hazdecha. To tell of your loving kindness in the morning. Ve'munatcha Balelot. And your faithfulness to the Jewish people at night. Today, we have so much to thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for. Alei Asor, Alei Novel, Alei Goyon Novel, Alei Goyon Bechinor, and you know, not only sing but play along, music. Thank God, but we have so much to thank Him for. Kisen Machtani Hashem Apalech. You know what? You make me happy with your doings. B'maseh yodecha ranein, that which your hands have done caused me to sing. Magadlu ma'asecha Hashem, how great are your deeds, O God. Ma'od amku machshevotecha, your thoughts are so deep, your intentions are so great. Next pasuk, unbelievable. Ishbar lo yeda uchsil lo yovin etzot. A boor cannot know, nor can a fool understand. You understand? It's so clear to everybody. Magadlu ma'asecha Hashem, and there are people who don't see and don't understand. Don't see and don't understand. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, I on my way coming here, I said to my wife, I may want to say something at the end of this year, and I don't know whether to say it or not. I don't know whether to say it or not. Then my next thought was, but listen, what did I tell you some months ago? I'm at the age already where, what the heck? We can do whatever we want. I don't think the Israel Center will fire me for saying it. So I'll say it. And you know what inspired me to say it? And I mean it. It's painful. What I'm going to say is very painful. Very painful. I happen to... I live and work strange hours. You know, when the whole world is sleeping, gold is in the middle of the day. So I think about 3 o'clock in the morning, I started reading an item that I picked up in my mailbox. So along, you know, before the elections, there was so much stuff in the mailboxes. So most of it you threw out, but there's one thing I didn't throw out. It was a quite a powerful piece from the Turek Karta. And the purpose of it is in order to make sure that nobody goes to vote. Because going to vote, they say clearly, is a rebellion against God Almighty. It's an act of apikursis, kfira, minus. I don't have to translate them. None of them are nice words. No, but really an assault not only on every other former Jew who doesn't agree with them, but I think it's an assault on every godly Yisrael from the Chazon Ish until Rav Eliyahu, if you understand. And you know, it's sort of some, you know, you don't talk against them, you know, they're former Yidden, they're here and they're here. But then you know what struck me? This was written and it was distributed in Parshas B'Shalach. So you know how when many of us, when we write a date, we don't just put in the date, you know. But according to Parshas B'Shalach, or Parshas Yisrael. So this was written Parshas B'Shalach. But they didn't write Parshas B'Shalach. B'Yom Shlishi, Yud Aleph B'Shvat. That was election day. B'Yom Shlishi, Yud Aleph B'Shvat. L'Seder, according to the Parsha, Vayavah Amalek. In other words, they are starting from the very beginning and tell you very clearly that, you know, anybody's going to go out of his house and go to vote on election day is Vayavah Amalek. Now, you'll see, I have no intention of attacking any Jews. Not me. I'm, you know that I'm a pussycat. But you know what strikes me? A new nation was brought into being. The Rebbe Yisrael began the process of the fulfillment of hundreds of nevuas. I'm going to bring you back from wherever you are in the world. And there were 3 reactions. One reaction was a total rejection of it all. This is not God. This is the Sitra Achra. This is Satan. This is that. The second reaction was sort of an ambivalent one. Well, yeah, something's happening, but The flag is a shmata, and the atikva is just Yom Ha'atzmaut, heck with it. Okay? One reaction. Second reaction. Third reaction, there's a great tzibur in Eretz Yisrael that got at least 12 mandates and maybe more, that say that this, everything that has taken place over here is reishis tzmichas geulah senu, the beginning of the flowering of our redemption. Same events, people saw the same thing, heard the same thing, and all three went in completely different directions. And you sit and wonder over there. Yom v'yom, every day, we see the fulfillment of hundreds of prophecies before our very eyes. And you know what? Men can make a mistake. God created him in such a way that he can do things that are absolute shiga'on, that the Rambam says. The Rambam says even more, the greatest peleh, the greatest wonder of them all is, how the Mitzrayim don't get it. And they go running after the Jewish people. They've gotten clapped in the head over there. 10 makas. And they don't get it. They don't get it. Precisely the same three groups, the same three responses to the birth, the first birth of the Jewish people, we have to the newest, the latest, and what certainly is ultimately the eternal birth of the Jewish people again. Those who don't get it, completely don't get it. And those who are sort of, they're scared. I don't know, they're scared. What would be so terrible if you'd say Hallel and Yom Ha'atzmaut and thank the Rebbein Shalom? And you know what they forget? They forget in that same Pasha, right before Parshat Bishalach, I've told it to you many times, the end of Parshat Bo, the great Rashi that says that Eretz Yisrael should be in your eyes every day, ki'ilu nitna l'chol bo v'yom hazeh, it was given to you today, v'al tehei be'inecho, and it should not be in your eyes, ki yerushat avot, like something that you inherited from your ancestors. You have to look at Eretz Yisrael today. God gave me a gift today. I've called that the unknown Rashi. The Rashi that sort of disappeared someplace. Everybody knows two Rashis that appear in Sefer Devarim about Torah should be in your eyes every day. But Eretz Yisrael first. Amazing. Shamuam Yagozim Vayavo Amalek Vayishma Yitro. He heard, he saw, same thing, different reaction. That's why the parasha is called Parashat Yitro.
How are you?
Just well?
Yeah.